here's a story from The World.
It's Juneteenth today, and we start our show in Galveston, Texas.
Good morning, and happy Juneteenth.
Today, June 19th, is the date in 1865 when the news that slavery had ended reached the state of Texas, 2 years after the Emancipation Proclamation was issued. Al Edwards II is the son of a lawmaker who got Texas to make it a state holiday 30 years ago.
It is Freedom Day for African Americans in the United States. It is our day. White, black, Asian, Mexican American, it is a United States holiday. And it needs to be recognized as such, and it needs to be passed into legislation as such. So, thank you, and happy Juneteenth.
Juneteenth is getting extra attention this year as protests for racial equality and systemic change continue around the country in the wake of George Floyd's killing. Mona Boyd has been celebrating Juneteenth in Accra, Ghana. She moved there from the U.S. in the 1990s.
I knew of Juneteenth, but I'd never celebrated it in the United States. When I came to Ghana, I found a community of African Americans already celebrating this holiday. So I joined them to celebrate it. And since that time, many people have joined us, many Ghanaians, in celebrating the holiday. So I would say there's a good knowledge of it. It's not a holiday that people celebrate when you go up country, but down here in Accra, which has people from everywhere, is celebrated.
I know from your own story, Mona, that you left the U.S. because you did not think it was a good place to raise your son. How does that affect how you think about Juneteenth?
Juneteenth is a holiday that I'm much more connected to than July 4th. July 4th was always just a holiday, a free day. But Juneteenth has a lot of significance because it actually means something to me. It was the day that my ancestors learned that they were no longer slaves, that they were now free.
This year, of course, Juneteenth comes in the midst of some major introspection and anger about the deaths of black people at the hands of police in this country. What is it like to observe from Ghana the protests and the focus on police violence against African Americans right now?
Well, I have kind of mixed feelings because we have been there before. I'm not sure that much will change when it's all over. You know, I grew up in the rural South under Jim Crow. So, you know, I know racism. I lived in an all-black world because of racism until I went to college. So I have really mixed feelings about what it will all come to. I think that we need to have some new strategies.
Like what? What would you add?
If you look at American society, the country, everything is based on economics. And in the kind of capitalistic system that we have, someone has got to be, from my perspective, someone has got to be at the bottom, else it may not work as well. And I think that what we need to do as black people is try to develop an economic strategy that will lift us from that bottom, which will then give us more power and more control over our lives and over, you know, how we are treated in the society. You know, I'm not a big fan of integration, to be honest with you. I grew up in an all-black town, and 50% of the people were self-employed. My father's father bought his farm. He had been out of slavery maybe 20, 25 years. And then him and his son kept adding on to the land till it got up to around, I think my brother's now farming about 500 acres. So we were quite independent. We weren't marginalized, and we didn't really have to worry about people respecting us.
I understand your emphasis on creating wealth, but isn't integration key, though, to eliminating otherness, like to get people comfortable with the fact that we are all humans?
You know, we all know that. So why do we have to tell you that? I didn't feel this way until I left America, okay, because I had a chance to live in a place where race was not an issue. So for almost 30 years, I haven't really in my personal life had to deal with race, so I was able to step back. Some things are about race, some things are not about race. And I think if black people don't view everything through the lens of race, then I think it would be much easier for us to deal with some of these social inequities in our society. You know, every white person in America, from my perspective, is part of the problem. They know racism is systemic in every arena of America, and they benefit from it. You know, I'm not sure people are really willing to give it up. So this is why I think black people need to start thinking about it differently. I mean, we shouldn't have to tell people our lives matter. Because for many people, our lives don't matter to them. Do you know what I'm saying? And I think that we should decide our lives matter, and this is what we're going to do to protect our lives on a daily basis. But I think one of the strategies that we have not gone near is looking at what we can do economically, because we have a lot of money. We have a lot of money, and we really need to look at how that money is employed in America.
You raised something a moment ago that I want to ask you about, the idea that capitalism needs somebody on the bottom. How do you change that in a world that is driven by profit?
I'm not sure that you change it. I think that you concentrate on how you lessen its impact on you. I don't see America changing its economic system at all. But, you know, other countries have dealt with this issue. Scandinavian countries tax their people at a 45% rate so that everybody can have health care, education, enough food, a place to stay. It's just the American value system, which is solely built on capitalism and nothing else matters. And it's just not black people that are marginalized by this capitalism. There are so many poor white people that are marginalized as well. So getting into the heart and mind, especially the heart of people, of white people, they're going to have to get into their own heart. Because black people are never going to be able to turn that around. It's been going on since black people have been in America. So it's up to white people to get into their own heart and do the right thing.
You said earlier, Mona, how much more Juneteenth means to you than July 4th. There is a movement undertaken by a Republican lawmaker from Texas to make it a federal holiday. What do you think about that? I mean, it's symbolic. Is it important to have that?
You know, we have been celebrating Juneteenth probably since slavery on our own without it being a holiday. They can make it a holiday. Personally, it doesn't matter to me because I'm interested in a much bigger picture than a holiday in terms of change in America. I mean, pass the law that prevents chokeholds. Get rid of the law where cops will have immunity no matter what they do and how they do it. Those are the things that matter to me. The window dressing piece don't matter to me. I can continue to celebrate Juneteenth as I have been, you know, since I started. We cannot think that these little gestures actually are going to give us the results that we need to have happen. They won't. We'll just have another holiday.
Mona Boyd is an African-American who has lived in Ghana for almost 30 years. She's been speaking to us from Accra. This was a great conversation, Mona. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
To read more on the connections that knit Ghana, the U.S., and the African diaspora together, head to theworld.org, where you'll find our series, 400 Years, Slavery's Unresolved History. That's at theworld.org.